WABC on the Voice of America.
This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. South Korea and a nuclear-armed North Korea test-fired two strategic cruise missiles from a submarine Sunday. According to state-run television KRT, it says U.S.-South Korea military drills were due to begin. KRT on Monday released five still photos of the missile launch from a submarine, adding that it tested the underwater offensive operations of submarine units that form part of North Korea's nuclear deterrent, and the launch confirmed the reliability of the system. South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff said the military was on high alert, and the country's intelligence agency was working with its U.S. counterpart to analyze the specifics of the launch. British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak flew to the United States on Sunday to meet U.S. President Joe Biden and Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese. VOA's Marissa Melton has more.
The three leaders are meeting to finalize the details of a submarine pact aimed at countering China. Britain, the U.S., and Australia announced the Australia-UK-U.S. plan in 2021 as part of efforts to counter China's growing military footprint in the Indo-Pacific region. The meeting in San Diego on Monday is expected to decide next steps for Australia to receive nuclear-powered submarines. Marissa Melton, VOA News.
A leading think tank says that Russia's advance seems to have stalled in Moscow's campaign to capture the eastern Ukrainian city of Bakhmut. The Washington-based Institute for the Study of War said late Saturday that there were no confirmed advances by Russian forces in Bakhmut. It's the latest assessment of the longest ground battle of the war. This is VOA News. The U.S. Treasury Department says it will not be a bailout for the Silicon Valley Bank, but the government will work to help depositors who are concerned about their money. AP correspondent Jackie Quinn has more.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen's trying to reassure Americans there won't be a domino effect after the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, like the meltdown in 2008. She says the American banking system is really safe and well-capitalized. On NBC's Meet the Press, New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez says this appears to be an isolated case, but the banking industry bears watching.
Should the regulators have been on the ball to ensure that this bank could not have had this risk? And what else is out there?
Former FDIC Chairwoman Sheila Bair, also on the show, says the best outcome is for a buyer to be found quickly.
The problem is this was a liquidity failure. It was right. A bank run. So they didn't have time to prepare to market the bank.
I'm Jackie Quinn.
Iran's top diplomat claims a prisoner swap is near with the U.S., though it has offered no evidence to support the assertion. The U.S. officials immediately dismissed his comments as a cruel lie. The Iranian foreign minister has made similar comments in the past about possible deals with the U.S. on frozen assets abroad and other issues that never came to fruition. Making the remarks Sunday to Iranian state television, U.S. State Department spokesperson Ned Price called the remarks a cruel lie when reached by the Associated Press. The sister of an American killed in an attack in Mexico says that she and he both had a bad feeling about the trip. Celandra Brown tells the Associated Press over the phone that her brother Zindel Brown was worried about taking his first field trip out of the country.
It was all over every Mexican news station available. And it was like, this is stuff you see in the movies. This is not stuff that happens to where you can literally see your family member being shot down and thrown in the back of a truck like that, like a piece of trash.
Brown's brother went down with a group of friends, including one woman who was treating herself to cosmetic surgery and another who was celebrating his 34th birthday. She says her brother was extremely close to her. He was a carpenter who liked to play video games in his spare time. There is more at voanews.com. Again, voanews.com. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Today is Monday, March 13th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I am Chinua Adofo in Washington. Coming up in the next half hour, Russian forces face stiff resistance in the grinding push to capture Ukraine city of Bakhmut.
In muddy fields and dugouts near Bakhmut, Ukrainian forces fire a powerful howitzer 2S1 towards Russian positions.
A former Australian leader warns of, quote, an accidental war, unquote, between the United States and China.
Rudd is Australia's incoming ambassador to Washington and says Canberra's policy is to deter our friends in China from taking premeditated military action against Taiwan.
And former U.S. Vice President Mike Pence sharply rebukes Donald Trump over the January 6th attack on the Capitol building. We'll have these stories and more next on International Edition. Stay tuned. The U.S. government took extraordinary steps Sunday to stop a potential banking crisis after the historic failure of Silicon Valley Bank, assuring all depositors at a failed institution that they could access all their monies quickly, even as another major bank was shut down. The announcement came amid fears that the factors that caused the Santa Clara, California-based bank to fail could spread. Regulators had worked all weekend to try to find a buyer for the bank, which was the second largest bank failure in history. Those efforts appear to have failed Sunday. In a sign of how fast the financial bleeding was occurring, regulators announced that the New York-based Signature Bank had also failed and was being seized on Sunday. At more than $110 billion in assets, Signature Bank is the third largest bank failure in U.S. history. The near financial crisis that U.S. regulators had to intervene to prevent left Asian markets jittery as trading began Monday. Japan's benchmark Nikkei 225 sank 1.8% in morning trading. Australia's S&P 200 lost 0.7% and South Korea's Kospi shed 0.8%. But Hong Kong's Hang Seng rose 0.5% and the Shanghai Composite increased 0.4%. Russian forces have made progress in the crucial line city of Bakhmut in eastern Ukraine, but a leading think tank, the Institute for the Study of War, says the Kremlin's advance seemed to have stalled in the face of stiff resistance by Kyiv. Associated Press correspondent Karin Chamas reports.
In muddy fields and dugouts near Bakhmut, Ukrainian forces fire a powerful howitzer 2S1 towards Russian positions. Ukrainian paratrooper Mikhail tells the AP, it's hard to defend the Bakhmut stronghold because a lot of enemy forces are concentrated here. And also the weather is not allowing us to use vehicles. It's too muddy. Britain's Defence Ministry has said that units from the Russian-controlled Wagner Group have captured most of eastern Bakhmut. But the UK warns that Russia's assault will be difficult to sustain without further harsh losses. I'm Karen Chamas.
Top Chinese officials have lashed at the United States this week with unusual direct hostile rhetoric coming from Beijing's new foreign minister. Qin Gang warned of conflict and confrontation if the U.S. continues to try to contain China. The U.S. says it is not seeking to contain China and sees no change in relations, as VOA's senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain reports.
At a plenary session of the National People's Congress, Chinese President Xi Jinping slammed the United States for leading what he termed containment, encirclement, and suppression of China, while calling on the private sector in his country to boost innovation and economic development. China's new foreign minister, Qin Gang, was even more direct at a news conference.
If the United States does not hit the brakes, but continues to speed down the wrong path, no amount of guardrails can prevent derailing or a crash, and there will surely be conflict and confrontation.
The Biden administration has often said it is seeking guardrails to prevent competition with China from veering into conflict. State Department spokesperson Ned Price had this reaction.
This is not about containing any country around the world. This is not about containing China. This is not about suppressing China. This is not about holding China back. This is about upholding the rules-based order that countries like China have signed on to.
One expert told VOA that the harsh language from Beijing this week is unusual. Michael Mazza is a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He spoke to VOA via Zoom.
The rhetoric coming both from the foreign minister and from Xi Jinping, the China's leader, has been quite striking, mostly because Chinese leaders, when speaking about the United States, tend not to speak so directly. They may harbor these opinions privately, but when they speak, they tend to be more circumspect.
Another expert told VOA it will not be easy for Beijing and Washington to find common ground because they perceive each other as a threat. Chase Blazek is an Asia-Pacific analyst at RAIN, a risk intelligence company. He spoke to VOA via Teams.
China says we're willing to have good relations with you as long as you don't try to contain China. And the United States says we're willing to have good relations with you as long as you don't pose a threat to our national security. But the United States perceives a threat of national security from China, and China perceives that the United States is content on containing it.
At a House of Representatives hearing Thursday, Republican Representative August Pfluger said the U.S. finds itself in conflict right now, not with the people of China, but with China's Communist Party.
Despite years of attempts by the United States to develop a productive, fair, and honest relationship with the People's Republic of China, America has been met with dishonesty and aggression. PRC government run by the Chinese Communist Party has deceived and manipulated us at every turn, committing espionage in our homeland and working to overturn the global rules-based order.
Last month, the U.S. shot down a high-altitude Chinese balloon that had flown across the continental United States. The Pentagon says it was a surveillance aircraft. China says it was a research balloon blown off course. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
Former Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd is warning of, quote, an accidental war, unquote, between the United States and China. Rudd, Australia's incoming ambassador to Washington, has voiced his concerns about mounting tensions between the United States and China, saying the relationship is at a risk of escalating. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Former Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd said the inflammatory comments from two senior Chinese leaders were addressing a domestic audience, seeking to divert blame for China's economic and other woes. Rudd is Australia's incoming ambassador to Washington and says Canberra's policy is to deter our friends in China from taking premeditated military action against Taiwan, which it claims is its own territory. He told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation that Canberra could help to repair damaged relations between the United States and China.
The overall state of the U.S.-China relationship is in bad strategic repair. Our job as friends, partners and allies of the United States and as strategic partners with China is to encourage both Beijing and Washington to move in the direction of a new strategic framework of managed strategic competition, to build new strategic guardrails into their relationship so that we do not end up with crisis, escalation and war by accident.
China is Australia's biggest trading partner. Its demand for natural resources has underpinned Australia's recent prosperity. Relations between Canberra and Beijing have suffered in recent years over diplomatic and trade disputes. Yet bilateral trade in goods and services has grown in recent years, according to government figures. Australia's military alliance with the United States dates to the early 1950s. In 2021, Australia, the United States and Britain signed the Trilateral AUKUS alliance. Details of the accord, including Australia's acquisition of nuclear-powered submarines, are expected when the leaders of the three countries meet in San Diego, California, early next week. China has criticised the AUKUS pact. A spokesperson for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs said it would stir up an arms race and undermine peace and stability in the Asia-Pacific region. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
U.S. President Joe Biden and European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen sought to minimize differences over Washington's plan to subsidize American companies that have frustrated many in Europe. White House Bureau Chief Patsy Wheeler-Squara has this report.
Under the Inflation Reduction Act, the Biden administration plans to provide American companies with $369 billion in green subsidies and tax credits aimed at cutting carbon emissions in half by 2030, which the EU views as discriminatory. But in their White House meeting, President Joe Biden and European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen minimized their differences. Biden said the IRA is driving investments to create clean energy industries.
And the idea under that idea underpins our Inflation Reduction Act, and it lies at the heart of the your Green Deal Industrial Plan, the EU.
Von der Leyen echoed the sentiment, noting Europe's own plan to achieve climate neutrality.
I think it's great that there is such a massive investment in green and clean technologies now. Indeed, we want to match it with Green Deal Industrial Plan.
She confirmed negotiations will begin to allow the EU to be exempted from an IRA clause that requires a certain percentage of minerals used in manufacturing batteries to be produced in the US or come from a free trade partner.
We agreed that we will work on critical raw materials that have been sourced or processed in the European Union and to give them the access to the American market as if they were sourced in the American market.
Amid the war on Ukraine, Europe is racing to end its reliance on Russia for fossil fuels by ramping up its domestic renewable energy production. To do so, it would need more access to critical minerals such as lithium, cobalt, and rare earth metals, the majority of which are processed by China.
About saying you can't be cutting off the dependency that you have with Russia and try to repeat it with China on these very important mineral resources. So you've got to figure out a way to cut into that dependency, and they can do that together if they jointly recognize what they're doing together and don't have to be stymied by domestic hurdles. And I think that's in a nutshell what they're trying to do.
Von der Leyen did not join the Biden administration in warning China not to arm Moscow in its war effort, saying it's a bilateral matter of the respective countries. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News at the White House.
Thank you, Patsy. And former U.S. President Mike Pence offered his most forceful rebuke to date of his one-time boss Donald Trump on Saturday, saying that his history will hold him accountable for his role in the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Freddie Joyner of Reuters reports.
Pence told assembled journalists and their guests at the Gridiron Dinner, an annual white tie event in Washington, D.C., that President Trump was wrong, adding, quote, "I had no right to overturn the election, and his reckless words endangered my family and everyone at the Capitol that day." Pence was in the Capitol when thousands of Trump supporters breached a building in an attempt to stop Congress from certifying the results of the 2020 presidential election, which Trump lost to Joe Biden. Throughout the siege, Trump sent out several tweets, one calling on Republicans to fight and others making false claims of voter fraud. He also criticized Pence for certifying the results. Pence, who was whisked to safety by law enforcement during the attack, is now considering a run for the Republican nomination for the 2024 presidential election. He would be up against Trump, who has already thrown his hat back into the ring. In the months following the incident, Pence rarely addressed January 6th, but has since upped his criticism of the rioters and the behavior of his former boss that day. His remarks Saturday came just days after conservative television host Tucker Carlson aired security footage of the Capitol attack, claiming that many of the rioters were orderly, a depiction that was sharply criticized by Democrats and several high-profile Republicans in the Senate.
That's Freddie Joyner of Reuters. In other news, an Italian lawmaker says intelligence reports indicate 680,000 migrants in Libya are waiting for an opportunity to set out in smuggling boats towards Italy. The parliamentary whip from Premier Giorgio Meloni's far-right Brothers of Italy party cited numbers from Italian secret services while appearing on a TV program. However, a spokesperson for the UN Migrations Agency called the estimate not credible, noting that not all migrants in Libya want to go to Europe. Meanwhile, Italy's Coast Guard reported Sunday that 70 migrants died and 30 missing in waters of Libya after their boat overturned. Also Sunday, the death toll from a February 26 migrant shipwreck of Italy increased to 79. This is VOA's International Edition. I am Chinedu Ofor in Washington. The agreement between Saudi Arabia and Iran to normalize diplomatic ties, which were cut in 2016, is being touted by both sides as a step towards improved security and stability in the region. But many observers are questioning how far either side is willing to go to accommodate the wishes of its rival. Developments in Yemen are also a possible bellwether as to how relations between the two countries are improving. Edward Uranian reports for VOA from Cairo.
Russia,
The decision by Saudi Arabia and Iran to normalize ties after 2 years of lengthy discussions and at least five sessions of talks comes at a time of economic and political instability in the Middle East. Saudi Foreign Minister Faisal bin Farhan Al Saud says the agreement should have positive consequences. He says that the agreement is the result of 2 years of talks, and we reached an understanding of good neighborly relations and respect for the sovereignty of regional states and dealing with all regional threats on the basis of our dialogue. Saudi Arabia, he adds, sees dialogue as the best way to deal with all those issues. Iran Foreign Affairs Minister Hussein Amir Abdullahian said the agreement to restore relations with Saudi Arabia will create major new possibilities in the region based on the principle of neighborly security. Iran Rear Admiral Ali Shamkhani, the Secretary of the Supreme National Security Council, noted that China is providing security guarantees for the agreement, which is due to take effect in 2 months. Khatar Abu Diab, who teaches political science at the University of Paris, tells VOA that the new feature of the Saudi-Iran agreement is China's role in the deal, which he says is very simple to understand. China, he says, has major economic interests in both countries, and its regional ambitions won't see the light of day unless the region is stable. He adds that just as the U.S. has made its famous pivot to the Asia-Pacific region, China has made its own pivot to the Middle East, and time will tell whether it will create a new zone of conflict between the world's two major powers, the U.S. and China. China imports 40% of the oil it consumes from the Middle East, and its oft-publicized Maritime Silk Road Initiative involves using ports in both the Persian Gulf, the Red Sea, and on the eastern coast of Africa, which are frequently buffeted by regional turbulence. Mirdad Kansari, a former Iranian diplomat and London-based analyst, tells VOA that the agreement is a positive step, but he still has his doubts.
They've been holding talks sponsored by Iraq in Baghdad for the past 2 years. They've had five sessions of talks. Whereas there has been no major breakthroughs, but the fact that they've decided to restore their diplomatic ties is a positive sign. But it has to be taken with a pinch of salt in terms of how far this agreement is likely to achieve anything substantial in the near future.
Kansari goes on to stress that he doesn't see Iran in any way accommodating the Saudis with what they have sought in terms of reducing their proxy interference in places like Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, or Yemen, and that the fundamental differences between Iran and Saudi Arabia that have existed since the inception of the Islamic Republic in 1979, with a few brief and temporary exceptions, remain. Khatar Abu Diab notes that since the 2015 nuclear deal, Iran has used its proxy forces to destroy most of the institutions of state in Iraq, Syria, Yemen, and Lebanon. One must wonder, he asks, if Iran is likely to change its style and definitively abandon its idea of exporting its revolution in the form of a transnational and transreligious project. Washington-based Gulf analyst Theodore Karasik tells VOA that the repercussions of the resumption of ties between Iran and Saudi Arabia are likely to be more visible in the coming weeks and months, but the good news is that tensions which were building between the two sides seem to have eased, giving other Gulf states a sense of relief. Edward Uranian for VOA News, Cairo.
This is Science in a Minute.
According to a new study led by Australia's Monash University, there is virtually no place on Earth to escape from harmful air pollution. The study, published in the journal Lancet Planetary Health, provides evidence that only 0.18% of the world's land area and 0.001% of the global population are exposed to levels of ambient fine particulate matter that are below levels of safety, according to the World Health Organization. The study suggests the annual concentration and the number of days with high levels of fine particulate pollution have decreased in Europe and Northern America over the two-decade study. But exposure to this environmental health risk has increased in Southern Asia, Australia, New Zealand, Latin America, and the Caribbean. Ambient fine particulate matter is particles of air pollution that are no more than 2.5 microns in width. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Breaking up a marriage is hard to do, but when it happens, the impact falls more heavily on women. In much of Africa, where marriage is the base for women's access to social and economic rights, when the marriage ends, women frequently inherit nothing. On this week's Our Voices, we'll look at the impact of marital dissolution on women's well-being, explore discriminatory divorce laws. Join the conversations Wednesday at 1900 UTC on The Voice of America.
This has been International Edition on The Voice of America. On behalf of the entire production team, thank you so much for listening. Visit our website for in-depth coverage of world events and news 24 hours at voanews.com and check out voaafrica.com for more English language programming. You can find International Edition on our current affairs programs, Encounter, Press Conference USA, and Issues in the News on voanews.com. Until next time, I am Gina Dorfo in Washington. Have a wonderful day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States has called for the release of Christian and ethnic Kachin leader Reverend Dr. Hakalam Sampson, who has been arrested, detained, and put on trial in Burma. Reverend Sampson is one of the country's leading religious figures. He is an advisor to the Kachin Baptist Convention after having served for a decade as president and general secretary of the group. The convention has an estimated 400,000 members, the majority of whom are ethnic Kachin. He is also president of the Kachin National Consultative Assembly. Reverend Sampson is a prominent advocate for human rights, including religious freedom for people of all faiths. He is also known for his humanitarian work. Regime authorities in Burma detained him on December 4, 2022, before he was to leave for Bangkok for medical care. He faces three charges, including under the country's counterterrorism law, which includes incitement to violence. His lawyer told Radio Free Asia that the court said Reverend Sampson was charged under terrorism laws because he had met officials of Burma's National Unity Government. If convicted on all charges, he faces more than 10 years in prison. We are extremely concerned for his well-being and safety and urge our partners and allies to join us in calling on the regime to drop all charges and immediately and unconditionally release Reverend Sampson, State Department spokesperson Ned Price said. Reverend Sampson's incredible work advocating for religious freedom, justice, peace, and accountability should be celebrated and replicated, not condemned. Human rights groups and civil society organizations have joined in calls for his release, including Human Rights Watch, who called the charges against Reverend Sampson politically motivated and a heavy-handed attempt to chill all dissent among ethnic minority leaders. In its most recent report on international religious freedom, the State Department noted that senior U.S. officials have consistently raised with the Burma military regime ongoing U.S. concerns about religious freedom, including the plight of the majority Muslim Rohingya in Rakhine State, hardships facing Christian minority religious communities in Kachin, Northern Shan, and Chin states amid ongoing violence. State Department spokesperson Price said, "We urge the regime to cease its unconscionable repression against religious actors and communities in Burma and end the violence."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.